It's a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM and Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that, Daily number 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. Now we're going to jump straight into it. Educators around the world, from early childhood up to university, struggle to teach First Nations content. Drama-based lessons, the answer. We're going to catch up a yarn there with our drama educator and PhD candidate, Danielle Araski, on the line. Danielle, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Danielle?
I'm here on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung country, part of the Kulin Nation down in so-called Victoria.
Beautiful. Fantastic. And a bit chilly down there, yes?
Yeah, freezing.
Come and join us in far north Queensland.
sounds good.
Come and hang out with Nemo. Look, a very important conversation. So educators around the world, from early childhood up to university, struggle to teach First Nations content. Are drama-based lessons the answer? In regard to this space, look, it's fantastic that First Nation language being put into curriculum, but we're looking at 10 years since the so-called thumbs up and the foundation is not there. It seems like a slow process. What can we do to hasten up the process?
Absolutely right that it's slow.
Yes.
I don't know that I'd agree that the foundation isn't there. I think the foundation is starting to be there.
Okay.
Like the space has definitely... I was doing my teaching training when that okay first came through.
Mm.
And it was... The space has definitely changed in that 10 years.
Yes.
But, gosh, there's a long way to go.
There is a long way to go. Now, in regard to this space, are elders involved in this space from traditional owners?
Yes and no. So in the study that we did, we looked at 27 projects around the world. 18 of those had community involvement, mainly elders. But only 8 of them actually reported on the elders and community members' perspectives.
Mm. And what's the response from teachers and principals about adding First Nation language to the curriculum?
Look, it's not my area of expertise. Personally, I'm really excited.
Yes. Hear it in your voice there, Danielle.
I'm really excited about it. But I know that a big problem in this area in general of teaching First Nations perspectives is teacher fear. Teachers are so scared of getting it wrong.
Sure.
And that's not going to be any less with teaching languages. So that, to me, is something major that needs to be addressed.
Well, that would lean more to the naivety in that space, not so-called racism.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, and regarding naive... And regarding teachers teaching in the curriculum, that would be more so the drama rather than racism.
There's a word I'm not catching there. The teachers are naive, did you say?
Yeah, naive in regarding the process, how to teach First Nation language, as you mentioned, they're scared, so to speak, don't want to do it wrong. That would be the case, more so racism.
Sorry, yes, I totally get you. I think it's both. I think there's a lot of racism amongst teachers, whether they acknowledge it or whether we acknowledge it, I'm a teacher myself, or not, and I think that's a major issue. I think the fear comes partly from not wanting to acknowledge that racism.
Sure, exactly. And look, we are here building bridges. That's the goal, you know, stamp out racism across the board. In the intro there, we talk about our drama-based lessons, the answer. And if drama is one of the tools, then so be it. We need to use whatever tools are available. A must has to be First Nation Dreamtime stories. Are we using this method, Danielle?
Yeah, look, dreaming stories tend to be the go-to for a lot of drama teachers, which personally I think leads to a lot of problems because teachers don't necessarily know really what dreaming stories are and their role in First Nations cultures. So I tend to try and steer drama teachers away from that as their first go-to.
Sure. And, of course, when we're talking Dreamtime really stories, of course you've got to get permission and respect from the elders or from the traditional owners to tell that story.
Exactly. Mm. And a lot of people don't. There's an example at the moment in the, like, senior drama curriculum that just is a perfect example of how badly it can be done, to be honest.
Yes.
It can be done really well. In the studies we looked at, there were three that used dreaming stories or the cultural equivalent, because these were around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one did it kind of superficially, and the other two used the stories as a sort of stepping stone to explore contemporary issues and events and things.
Yes.
So to me, that's more the way to do it than that the superficial, here's the story, let's act it out, which tends to be how do people do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure. So we've got a long way to go, but like beginning is half done, and this is fantastic in regard to airspace. But so let's talk about the work that you're doing as drama educator and PhD candidate. So you're working with other educators as such in the space, and we're talking in Melbourne, aren't we, Monash University?
Yeah, that's right. So my work is in that space of, okay, teachers are scared, teachers are racist, what do we do about it?
Sure, exactly. Is there communication with other universities in the same space when we talk about, oppositions, other universities, but we're talking about a nucleus here of a new subject, so to speak, to come to the curriculum. So we all got to work together in making this come to fruition, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure what it's like in Queensland. I think you've had mandatory Indigenous studies or equivalent subjects in teacher education for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that in Victoria.
Sure.
Which is a major problem.
Yes. And so what can we do to hasten up the process? I mean, you're doing it here. I mean, do the head of universities are right behind it and pushing that space as well? And then we talk to the Member of Parliaments in your area, state and federal?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Look, I've got a bit more hope with the current government than I did with the past one.
Sure. Yeah. Second that.
The new curriculum that's coming, there's a new Australian curriculum which actually had First Nations people writing the First Nations curriculum, which shouldn't be groundbreaking, but it was.
And a no-brainer.
yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
So those steps are happening. Look, from a teacher's perspective, down in Victoria, there's lots of teachers that say that they would really like relationships with First Nations people to do this work better,
mm-hmm.
And that they find it hard to develop those relationships. So on the other hand, I know that that's not necessarily how First Nations people have experienced that situation. Where those relationships can be built, that can result in really beautiful and powerful change.
Well, Danielle, this program and First Nation radio stations and media spaces across the country have had many conversations with traditional owners who are working with schools in regard to this space. Do you know of any, and have you had conversations with those schools?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really great schools. Well, actually, I'd say there's some really great First Nations people building those relationships with schools.
And you're well aware of that, yes, and you have had communications, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. So that work is happening. More.
Yeah, and so I think that'd be a good platform to put your studies towards, your research towards. Big time.
Definitely.
Well, great talking with you, Danielle. Thank you very much for sharing. We're watching this space very closely, and let's not wait another 10 years, but appreciate work that you're doing, and let's get it together, Danielle.
Thanks so much, Cheryl. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
All the best. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Danielle Horaski, her name is, a PhD candidate, Faculty of Education, Monash University, Clayton campus. And the question there, how to teach First Nations content and concepts across all levels of education. And asking the question, is a drama-based lessons the answer? And as we had our conversation with Danielle, we talk about, of course, elders got to be at the table, traditional owners, and, of course, the the Dreamtime stories. That to me, that's a fantastic tool. But of course, you've got to have permission. Some of the stories are sacred to our mob and to tribal people. But you know, that is a fantastic base. Our beautiful kids learn by stories, and we've got stories there. Well, in their stories are the languages, you know, and the totems, so to speak, and everything that comes with culture. So, look, there it is. So it's been 10 years since they had the thumbs up saying, yeah, let's look at First Nation language in the curriculum. But 10 years is a long time. And with a lot of our process and what we're fighting for as First Nation people, it's a slow process in all facets and all industries. So there it is. But have your say, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my people.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, two deadly beautiful song there, Yarraba. Good morning, Yarraba. Hope you're well. This Dennis Rose, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Upstrong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, and I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, 2 Deadly, going to catch up with Yarn now with the Deadly brother here, Kingsley Mortimer, Safe Men founder. And we're talking about this space, Safe Man Project. It's about having conversation so everyone is safer. White on the outside, black on the inside. That's how I describe Kingsley, Deadly brother. And a very good morning to you, Kingsley. How are you, brother?
Good, thanks, Trevor.
Yeah, good, mate. Thank you for very much coming to the program. Before we start, we say let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, but who's Kingsley Mortimer?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's a really great honour and really fantastic to be able to speak into community
yes.
on a subject that I'm really passionate about. I have a background of being a musician most of my life, so I understand the arts and I've worked with a lot of different and diverse cultures from
yes.
Authentic and culturally specific African music bands and
okay.
And then I've worked with a lot of Indigenous people, particularly down in the South area and in Melbourne. I spent most of my career working there, and look, I had a background that's very colourful of sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago I got off the drugs and a whole lot of stuff changed for me. Like all the very immediate, obvious stuff started to change. So I got my health back, and I became, you know, more sober-minded. I was able to make better decisions. That kind of stuff, the obvious stuff. But then over the years of being in recovery, I started to recognise some other behaviours that were spurred on by a lot of trauma that happened to me, and I had to go back into my childhood and work on a lot of that stuff. So getting off the drugs was the first step of then having some clarity to be able to work through some of those other issues as well. I've got to find out a lot of stuff about my heritage, which is, you know, like the background of relatedness to First Nations is that, you know, I've got a great-grandmother that was a Māori from New Zealand. And and there's a whole lot of secrecy stuff around all that, you know, and a lot of shame in my family where I didn't find out about this stuff until... I was in recovery and my grandmother passed away during...
So the Indigenous side of your familyhood wasn't spoken of?
No, like my grandmother was the only person who actually told me about it towards the end of her life.
Yeah.
And so...
But your father's side or mother's side?
On my mother's side.
Mm.
So my grandmother, you know, her husband... his mother was an Indigenous woman, and was in New Zealand, had an affair with a doctor over there, and a Jewish doctor sent them over to Sydney to get them away. Yeah, like
for the shame factor,
for the shame and everything like that. I think somebody he knew,
stolen a generation, you could say.
Exactly, exactly. And and so my grandfather was a twin, and they were brought up by a Jewish tailor in Sydney, a guy by the name of Solly, and we always thought that he was my great-grandfather.
Okay.
And it turns out that he wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like a lot
fake
of stuff.
Fake it till you make it. So what was the defining moment that turned you in getting off the drugs, better in your life? What was the change there?
Well, look, the big thing for me was I knew there was a better way of life. I was brought up fairly well. You know, my father was Salvation Army officer and so was my mum. My mum passed away. She died of cancer a couple of years before I got clean. And I got to watch her die from a drug overdose, you know, as a result of the painkillers.
Turn the lights on for you.
It really made me realise that if I don't have to, like I'd had a few close calls. Mm. I'd had a few overdoses. I'd had been, you know, taken to hospital a couple of times where, you know, things were touching.
It sounds like you had a good upbringing.
Yeah,
as a mother and father and
yep.
together and no separation and worked in Salvation Army. So their heart and spirit would have been in a good place.
Well, look, every family has its dysfunctions.
Sure,
you know,
yes.
And so some of the things that happened when I was very young, before my father and my mother became Salvation Army officers, they had an effect on me.
Yeah.
And look, people are different. You know, we all, some of us are a lot more sensitive. I'm really sensitive, and that's a good thing because
we say snag sensitive, you know, new age guy.
Well,
quiet Omo ads.
It gives me the passion to be able to do something about this and go, look, this is really important. This wakes me up in the morning, you know, when I have bad nights and my own stuff and my own trauma and my own anxiety is haunting me in the middle of the night, and I can get up in the morning and say, well, this is important.
Sure.
You know, and if I wasn't sensitive, I'd just go, ah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah. So the sensitivity was a powerful tool.
Yeah, for your change. But at the same time, it also created these, you know, traumatic events. Well, yeah. these events happened, but I made them more traumatic.
Mm, dramatized. You know?
I gave them a lot more meaning. Yep. And so I was able.
Well, you are what you focus on.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Exactly. Look, there's some people who probably go through some abusive situations and they power on. They get on with them. With life, you know, but there's other people who just fall apart, just being yelled at.
Sure.
You know, and so, you know, I want to speak out to people, all sorts of people, but particularly those people who haven't been able to cope with some of the traumatic events that have happened in their life, or maybe haven't even talked about with somebody.
Exactly.
That's what Safe Men's about.
Safe Men. We're talking about Safe Men Project, talking with Kingsley Mortimer here, and as we found out, First Nation heritage and through the Maori. New Zealand, the White Clouds, and look, found his way, so to speak, and didn't know anything of it, as we say, stolen generation. So we're feeling for the brother here, but working with Safe Men Project. So this is operating here in Cairns, or is this a state thing or national thing?
Well, I'm the founder, and so I'm living in Cairns, but we have a steering committee of half a dozen people right now, and we've only been going for 12 months. So the steering committee's been just... creating a foundation for what we're actually doing, what we're, you know, like coming up with ideas like safe men, safe families, safe communities.
Yes.
You know, that catchphrase is really powerful. And look, I could come onto radio stations and just make sure that I say that.
Sure,
half a dozen times.
Exactly.
And
that's
going to stick into people's minds.
So well, we have a men's group, as in First Nation people, you know what I mean? And a big shout out to Kunjul, who operate here on the radio station podcast and do yarns and been running for about a year. And big shout out to those brothers. But I just come from 3 weeks ago. Big shout out to Punapima, First Nation Health Organisation. It looks after the Cape York. And we had a Cape York men's health camp. And that was for 3 nights, 4 days. And 80-odd men were all together.
Awesome.
And here we are as brothers standing around fires and deep talking, tears in our eyes, hugging and yarning and powerful, inspiring. So my question to you with Safe Men, is there any black involvement in regarding First Nation people?
Well, that's what we want to speak about today. We want to ask if there's men out there that in community and First Nations that want to be involved in the project like I'm involved in, and say, look, come on board. I want to enroll you. I want to tell you more about it. I want to see what your heart is about getting out to your own communities and taking this message of opening up a conversation, you know, removing the stigma.
So you need a bit of colour in the Safe Men Project.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We want as diverse a community as possible in the steering committee.
Country we live in.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. And so do you meet on a weekly basis or how does the project work?
Well, it's ad hoc. I know that's a big word right now.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
But
whenever the people are ready or someone wants to talk, all ears here.
That's right, yeah.
And kettle's on.
And it's been, you know, it's been something that we were regularly doing on a weekly Zoom for a while last year when we were developing the concept behind Safe Men, what we really want to be doing.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of organisations out there that offer great programs.
Yes.
And so we started to realise, well, where's the area that's missing in community and in Australia particularly. And, you know, like we could have put together some programs and things like that, but we realised that the people who are putting together programs are psychologists and psychiatrists and healthcare professionals who are doing some really great work in community, but they're lacking in the side of marketing. And we are, you know, having come from a music industry background, it's all about going out there and selling and selling and selling and selling, you know, like, and promoting.
Sure.
And, you know, like, what we want to do is we want to be able to open up through media, through social media and mainstream media, the opportunity to have these kind of conversations like we're having today, Trevor, and say to people and the people out there who are listening to go, look, there are projects out there that and fantastic programs out there, but unless you talk about it with somebody, you know, and it's not going to be the time when you're enraged. And that's what we want to remove the stigma around
that
kind of badly behaved, you know, men.
Time is everything in life, isn't it?
Yes. And so when you've calmed down a bit and then you want to talk about it, like, let's talk about it.
Exactly.
And so it's okay to talk about
these
things.
And the sad thing is a lot of men don't talk. That's black and white, you know.
Totally.
We've got the Warrior Foundation and and the supposedly chest out and talking's not for me. I got this. I can tackle it. What have you? But four walls are closing in. You know? And if you've got a problem and you admit to it, then you can fix it.
And that's why I'm here leading with my vulnerability. I talk about my recovery and things like that because then it's going to make other people feel okay to be vulnerable as well. Vulnerability is probably the most powerful thing we have as a human species.
Yes.
It's one thing that can lead to transformation.
Sure. And the word change, a lot of people are scared of the word change, but change is the engine of growth.
Come on.
Change is powerful, you know, and if you keep doing, the old saying, if you keep doing something over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Yeah, that's
the definition of insanity.
Yeah,
I think
Einstein
came up with
that.
Exactly,
that's right. Exactly. So it's just making changes. So the Safe Men Project. So we have a webpage, safemen.com.au.
Yes.
So people can check that out and reach out. And to our First Nation brothers out there, you may not feel comfortable working with First Nation people, maybe too close in regard to the community, or people know your wife and know your kids. And, so maybe privacy is a factor. Well, come to this side, so to speak, Safe Men. Whatever tool, vehicle is out there, reach out. Mm. Have a drive, test the drive, and if not, change the vehicle. But let's start. Let's have that yarn.
Yes, let's start this conversation because it's a really important conversation to have. Mm. There's too many situations where we've seen people dying, because of we're not talking about our childhood trauma.
Mm, sure, exactly.
A lot of it comes down to childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that didn't happen to you and you witnessed something that happened, you can carry that with you for so much of your life. And unless you talk to somebody about it, it's going to come out sideways. Mm. And usually for men, it comes out in violent and abusive behaviour. And I don't want to shame that, and I also don't want to condone it.
Yes.
But I'm saying, let's have a conversation about this, guys.
Well, we're talking fear factor as well, having that yarn, getting it off your chest. But on the other side of fear is freedom.
Come on.
And that's what you're talking about, brother, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, a beautiful yarn, Kingsley. Thank you so very much. And thank you for coming on the program. And keep this program in mind and regarding promoting what you're doing. Fantastic. And getting our brothers, our warriors out there, yarning up. That's black and white.
Yes.
All cultures.
Let's do that, Trevor. And thank you so much again for having me on your program.
Kingsley Mortimer, thank you very much. Safe Men. And so you can check it out online, safemen.com.au. That's one word, safemen.com.au. Reach out for the brother here and just to have that conversation if you don't want to meet face-to-face. But that's the start, isn't it? And we can talk about emails or even texting, can't we?
Yes. Well, there's contact information on our website, so you'll be able to contact me directly.
Hey, good talking with you, brother. And love your hairstyle. You just keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Hey.
We'll yarn soon.
All right.
Too deadly beautiful. A deadly yarn there with Kingsley Mortimer, Safe Men. He's the founder and speaks from the heart, very passionate about it. And look, he turned his life around. And I suppose that's the other message as well. Anybody at any moment can start a new future. You know, we all have a past. Don't mean we have to live there. And our granddad just say, a jet airplane don't have revision mirrors. So there it is. Look forward. Focus on where you're going in the future, you mob. Have you say yarn up strong. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Came a stranger's hand, was a wild, kid, dodgy man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? And I was just on my way home.
didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by Walker Dutchy Maine. Runner in the lane, I was chased by Walker Dutchy Maine. Was walking down in that back road one night, heard someone talking, and man, I nearly darkness came a stranger's hand. Was a wild Kentucky man. Yaka Kurichi. Yentago Kurichi. Wilfred Levitchew. Wilfred Strangways.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it. Stole it, son, drive
from the oceans.
Yeah, beautiful track there, beautiful land and sea. Black Image Band, big shout out, Black Image Band, all the way from Hopewell. And thank you so very much for accommodating our Cape York Health Men's Group camp. That was for 3 nights and 4 days up there at Hopewell. So thank you very much. Big shout out to Bruce Gibson as well, who became a tour guide for us. So thank you very much, brother. Hope things are well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob to Delhi. Now, Aboriginal flag to replace New South Wales flag atop of Sydney Harbour Bridge, which has been flown on Sydney Harbour Bridge at part of as part of NAIDOC Week celebrations, will permanently replace the New South Wales flag. Now, last month, the government announced plans to spend $25 million on installing a new third flagpole and refurbishing the existing two poles. How it cost to put a flagpole, $25 million. Shut up, I'm in the wrong business. We're going to talk to our brother Nathan Moran. He's a Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council Chief Executive on the line about this space. Brother Nathan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, brother. Morning,
Felicia. Too dirty, brother. Before we start, let the people know who you mob, where you from, Nathan.
Yeah, Birrapai Thungadi, myself.
Yes.
Burnbridge, Kempsey, that's the capital for Aboriginal Australia.
Yeah.
Well, all our Kempsey mob anyway.
Yes.
But big shout-outs to my mum and all the mob up there at home in the valley now.
Yeah.
Coming to you back from Eora country, standing on Gadigal country, representing the Metro Local Aboriginal Land Council.
But yeah, beautiful. Good space there, my brother. And look, congratulations. Aboriginal flag to replace New South Wales flag atop of Sydney Harbour Bridge. Long time waiting. Tides are turning. Things are happening for First Nation people. But the cost of $25 million to install a new third flagpole. Well, shut your mouth, brother. We're in the wrong business, cuss.
we got to become more metal makers.
Yeah, well, exactly. $25 million.
They looked at. But, look, I'd just say for our community, it's been 30 years, we all know, since our flag was made a national flag.
Yes.
In all respect to Kathy, you know, Kathy Freeman.
Yes.
Showing the way and dealing with Arthur Tunstall in
2000.
In the 90s. But it is a national flag. There should be no opposition to the flag representing us all. But, yeah, it's been a long journey. Certainly I've been here since 2014. It's been 8 going on 9 years.
And sure.
I had a yarn to the then Premier, Mr Baird. He said he liked the idea. He'd look into it. Gladys came along. She said she liked it. She'd look into it. Didn't get nowhere. Now, the latest fella, Mr Perrott, I just pay my respects that he's at least trying to get it done.
Good.
He's got it done.
Yep.
I was worried like buggery, but when I heard 25 million, I thought,
exactly.
Pay for a pole for that much. But look, the common sense has prevailed. I still recall my chair saying to Mike Baird at the time, who's now my deputy chair,
yes,
Miss Yvonne Weldon, just stating the obvious. Why can't you remove one of yours and put ours up?
Yeah.
That was 2016.
Yeah, gotcha.
So finally, 6 years later, common sense, dare we say a lack of it sometimes, has finally prevailed. Dare we use the words down here, we describe them as gubbers. I know our northern neighbours call them miglus.
Yep.
But those, you know, ballanders to the central mob and those non-blackfellas, it took us too long to do this, but I'm glad it's over.
Yes.
We're now represented. Now, Jalais, Jarjans, our children can look up and see themselves.
Good.
Our mob, you know, our, us middle-aged mob and us elders, or moving towards elders and my parents' age groups can now see they're represented.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's an uplift for everyone. It's a good story. Much respects to everyone who's been involved in chipping away from Reconciliation Australia since the bridge walk in 2000.
Yes.
We've had everyone chip in. You know, we've even had people do online surveys. All together, it's led to this final resolution that we're represented and flying proudly on one of the oldest bridges in
Coat
the
Hanger.
Yeah.
The coat hanger. Nathan, when will the flag be put up there?
Well, it's already there.
It's already there. So there it is, permanently flying now in the wind.
Yeah. Anyone who's not here in Gadigal, Gammeraygal, Wongal or the associated areas looking at the coat hanger in Sydney Town.
Yes.
We're happy to say it's there now for all the mob. When they come down, it'll still be there. And I just say, finally, we're going to be part of society daily, every minute of every moment. And I think that's the steps that we're taking towards really achieving some form of human agreement, call it a Macarada, my mob call it Mingaletta, when we come together, finally we'll become equals. And we're slowly getting there.
Yeah, for sure. And in regards to the flag, like I said, empowers black fellas, but it's bridge part and apart, but it's a bridge builder regarding bringing black and white together. Now, there are some non-Indigenous people who are not happy with that process, you know. It should be only one flag, and look at that, they even came from the words of the announcer there on Project, you know. Trying to think of his name, but when you look at that sort of work, you know, that sort of statement, not really good in regarding building bridges, so to speak.
Well, even acknowledging diversity, we don't all be forced to assimilate to have one flag to represent us all.
Yeah,
you know, where we come from, I'm sure many of the mob listeners know this. We all come from people who have our own totems, our own symbols, our own representative, you know, structures.
Yes,
and we have our own flag. We have our own colours that define us from our countries and from our identities. Mm. And I find it really odd that people all want to homogenise, assimilate to one. I just feel that undervalues diversity, the reality that we're not all one. We're not all a bunch of robots. We all have our own colours. We all have our own beliefs. And I think that's where there's a sadness when I hear people like that. But I remind them that the New South Wales flag is the oldest flag of the colony.
Yes,
the Australian flag is the most recent.
Exactly.
And I throw that to people who want to talk about history and wonder, at what level are they talking? Open, authentic discussions around what's the oldest flag, what's the newest one, which is the most appropriate? What does it actually represent? What are the symbols in it? Mm. You know, they're the yarns I'd like to hear rather than people on talkback TV or radios.
Sure.
Making opinions,
exactly.
Fact. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you decide to do something in life, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you. So do it anyway, brother.
We know the crab's in the bucket now, mob, but I think for the non-Aboriginals who may be listening, when you do something, you upset someone because the status quo's been broken. So I acknowledge sometimes it causes heartache for some who wanted to do it themselves and they probably can't accept someone else got it done. And then there's the others who just don't want change because it's too frightening for them. Well,
sure.
I've got to say to those two groups, just buckle up.
Yep.
Stay tuned. We've got a lot of improvement to become a really, truly healthy place.
Exactly. And having a flag, Aboriginal flag, on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, look, is a big step forward, but still a lot of work to be done. And, Nathan, thank you for your yarn, my brother.
Oh, anytime, you peoples. Love your work. And, dare I say, Yakai, some of the mob down here say Yalu. We just say see you when we're looking at you, or speak soon.
Too deadly. Take care, Nathan. All the best, brother. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn. That's Nathan Moran, and he's Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council Chief Executive. And we're talking about that deadly movement there, the Aboriginal flag, to replace the New South Wales flag atop of Sydney Harbour Bridge. They used to have the Aboriginal flag there only part of NAIDOC Week celebrations, but now it's there permanently. So the New South Wales flag is down, and now the Aboriginal flag is up there alongside the Aboriginal and the Australian flag. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, but you may have to do that tomorrow. Tomorrow's come to the time where Trendy Trevor signs off for today. Back in the hots again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black 1-hour program, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National Radio Service. Good yarn with you, mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. News coming up very soon via NIRS.